Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to do a study today on honor. Say honor. Now, I heard somewhere that this is supposed to be, is it Grandparents' Day Sunday? It is today. All right. So we have Grandparents' Day. My wife and I, we now qualify, you know, as grandparents, all right? And that's, of course, well, 4 years now, but, you know, still feels great. Amen. And then we have great grandparents in the house. Elder Hudson's a great granddad and a granddad and a father. Many grandparents here. So I thought about, you know, what better thing to talk about than honor? When you understand honor, you understand what moves the heart of God, what releases the power of God. Honor is a lost art in our day, like loyalty and many things lost in our day. There are many things lost, but we are called as the church to bring light. We are salt and light. Whatever the world has lost, God still has it. Amen. Whatever the world has lost, God's got loads of it. Amen. So honor is one of those things, that one of those virtues, one of those actions that God has and offers to us. We offer back to him and to others. All right. Matthew chapter 10. We're going to start here in this text, reading the words of Jesus. Verse 39. Jesus said, "He who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet, the name of a prophet, shall receive a prophet's reward." Verse 42. "Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." I want to focus there on verse 40. "He who receives you," Jesus said, "receives me." Now, the context is, he had prepared his disciples to go out to preach, dispersed them by two to go out and preach the good news. And he gave them many instructions, things like, when you go, don't get bogged down with long greetings and salutations, and don't take a lot of stuff with you, travel light, and all that. But he said that to prepare the people, his people, he said, "Now listen, you're not going in your name, you're going in my name." Because verse 40 only applies to people going in Jesus' name, in his on his behalf. So he said, "He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me." So it goes from us to Jesus to Father God. So God himself is backing the efforts of those he sends. We represent the Lord. That's why in our country and around the world, if we send an ambassador someplace in the world and they abuse the ambassador, they have abused the whole country, because the country sent the ambassador. And so Jesus is saying no less, that we represent him. And then also he said, different verse, said, "Those, you know, who reject you, reject me. Those who do not receive you, don't receive me." So the point is, Jesus is standing with us, functioning through us, and that requires a sense of honor, both of who sent us and of people, how they receive us, reflects their understanding of honor toward God. See, people think that they can overlook you and honor God. You really can't do that. I mean, John was clearly said, if you can't love people who you do see, you cannot love God who you do not see. There is no stepping around people to say, "I love God, I serve God." There's no avoiding people, because people are what God are looking at as fruit of our tree and evidence of our words. So he says, going on here, verse 42, "Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he won't lose his reward." Christ is reinforcing the idea that whether when you go, God's going with you. When people receive you, they're receiving the one that God sent. They're receiving God himself. Now, we're not God, I'm saying, but if God send you, how someone treat you reflects on their view of God, which people don't understand that, but God understands it. Jesus just said it. Amen. He said it very clearly. So then we want to be clear about what honor is, because honor is going to allow us to understand what God is doing. Now, let's look here at next point here. So how does honor affect pleasing God or affect our identity and blessings in life? OK, how does honor affect our identity and blessings in life? We know this. Everything in life is connected. It's all connected. And that we cannot not love somebody or mistreat somebody and not be affected by that treatment. I mean, we ourselves suffer if we make somebody else suffer, you know. I mean, there's just a connectedness in life. The old saying is, you know, hurt people hurt people. That's true, isn't it? Honor, then, is what we need to understand toward God first, that if we don't let honor motivate us and motivate us to do things to help people and honor God, we'll miss our own purpose and identity. Our identity, who we are, is tied up in who God is. Amen, somebody? Our identity and then our blessings in life are connected to how we respond to God. Now look at Mark chapter 6. Here's a good story we'll focus on here for a few minutes. Now, next point is, we've got to know what restrains Jesus. Because if we know what restrains him, we'll know what restrains us. We've got to know what restrains Jesus. What hinders him? Because he is hindered by some things. He's God, he's all powerful, but even God can be hindered. What hinders God? And whatever hinders him will also hinder us. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things?" Now, let's stop there for a moment. So he comes back to his home, church, home synagogue, and begins to teach. And he was teaching in a way that people are like, whoa, where did he get this from? And the sense was, something about this is wrong. This is not who he is. He should not be speaking on that level. Where did he get these things from? Now, that itself, of course, is dishonoring, not recognizing that he is more than what they thought. But going on, it says this: "And what wisdom is this which is given to him? And such mighty works are performed by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, Jonas, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. Isn't this crazy and sad? Why would anybody be offended at somebody who has stepped out of a box you had them in? Why would somebody be offended at somebody who's doing something they don't understand? They can't imagine how he achieved that or why he's doing that. They were so fixated on who they thought he was, they couldn't see his development, his growth. They couldn't see the other things that God was doing through him. Amen? Now, this is a common verse. We've read it before. But it's an amazing thing to read. Every time I see it, it amazes me that people, rather than rejoice in what Jesus Christ is doing, they're offended that he's doing something that they don't have any control of it. They don't understand it, and most of all, they can't do it themselves. All right? Now, obviously, this is an example of a lack of honor. A lack of honor. Not recognizing and honoring who Christ is in himself. Listen, not who I think he should be. but who he actually is. Not who we have known him to be, because they said, we know you, man. You are the carpenter. You built tables and stuff. And here's your mother right here. And there's your brothers over there. And here are your sisters here. So what are you doing? No, what are you doing? Because familiarity, as the saying goes, can breed contempt. That we really don't know all what's in somebody's life and heart and potential. But if we see something unusual, we should then just celebrate and thank God for it. But it takes honor to do that. See, a lack of honor will never recognize what God is doing in someone's life. Now watch this. So it says they were offended to him. Verse 4, we read this before again, Jesus said, a prophet is without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now here's the main point to the whole thing, though. Verse 5. Now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now this is what really gets my attention. Here's Jesus. The Bible says he has the spirit without measure. He's the Son of God. He is everything we know the Bible says he is. Very God. And yet didn't say he wouldn't do. He said he could not do. He could do no mighty work there. Could do no mighty work. Could not do it. Because God requires faith. He requires honor. He requires confidence among those he wants to help. So then this is a very important verse to establish this whole teaching today. That honor will release us to see first what God is doing. Furthermore, it will release in God or in that person in Christ in this instance, it'll release power toward those who can embrace what they see, who cannot be limited by their own perception. Now, I talked about perception 2 weeks ago. So then we don't want our perception to then be the factor that keeps us from honoring and thereby limits our potential to receive the best from God. He could do no mighty work there. Wow. Except he healed a few sick folk. Laid hands on a few sick folk and healed them. Now, part of the issue was he didn't lack the power to do it. There was a lack of willingness for people to be available for him to do it. He may have wanted to do more, but people weren't even showing willingness to receive from him. You cannot do any more than people are willing to receive. You can't do any more than people are willing to accept. Amen. You just can't do any more. You can't do any more than what you're allowed to do. So it says, then he marveled, verse 6, he then marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. I mean, what's it like for Jesus to say, my goodness, this, I can't believe this here. Jesus now. I mean, isn't it like he's saying, I'm tired, I don't have any more virtue left, and I'm all spent. He's just saying, I have all this to give, and I can't do it here. I cannot do it here. I can't do it because of unbelief, because of a lack of honor. And that's the problem we have with familiarity. We know one another, but we never want to let that become the basis of our relationship. Because there's so much more we do not know. There's dimensions and power in you and things God wants to do that nobody has seen. You haven't seen it yet. You've not seen it yet in your own life. So it's very important to honor so that whatever God wants to do, we won't run up against this problem that God could do no mighty work because there was limitation of honor and faith, right? This says, then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So he went out and did many more work because people were more open to receive. So then this lack of honor reduced Jesus to something lesser and familiar. Now, he wasn't reduced in himself. I would say the perception of him was reduced in the people. If we don't honor Jesus, he's reduced where we're concerned. He's not changed himself, saying, but what he can do for us is reduced. It's limited. You know, even the prophet, I think Ezekiel said that, you know, God, his hands aren't short, but you've limited the Holy One of Israel. You've limited Holy One of Israel, all right, by your unbelief. So then this attitude among the people blocked the blessings they could have received from him, because they just chose to see him in the version they knew. You know, I put a video up some months ago, maybe a year ago, from Paul Scanlon, who talked about versions of yourself and how that, you know, you're not the same version of you that you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago. Now, even last year, maybe, you know, because you've grown, you've matured, you've learned things, you've gained skills. You went to school. You had a prophecy. Things have happened in your life. You've been called in a licensed ministry. I mean, things have happened to you. You know, the version of you today is not the same version of you. But sometimes people don't want to see the version of you today. They want to see the version of you they can handle and understand and relate to and get their mind around. Amen. I think it's a good thing to get your mind blown every now and then. Amen. I mean, God had to do something. You can't. Whoa, what was that? What was that? I mean, if everything around me is familiar, I'm not growing. If I'm not being challenged through something God is doing and being amazed by what I see people do or God doing, then let me change my mind and get out the past. Now, no, listen, it is way more comfortable to stick with old versions of stuff. Only old version you need is the Word of God, all right? The Bible. As far as methods, principles don't change. The principles don't change. Methods, how we operate. I mean, we have to improve all the time, right? So then, but the people in Jesus' hometown and home church, they were stuck on that version of Jesus that they could get their mind around. The carpenter, there's his mama. And there's his daddy, and there's his brother, and there are his sisters. And we all just happy. We all happy here. We got it all figured out. People want things all figured out. But sometimes you must get your mind must get blown. Got to blow your mind up. Amen. Because what you're thinking, God has something greater for you. So honor will help us see whatever God wants us to see. That's the point. So then Jesus then was reduced among those with whom he was familiar, but he went out and did greater things for those who weren't connected to his previous versions or whatever they thought he was in the past. And he was able to do much more fruitful work. Now, Jesus, make this point. Many times God will send you what you need in a package that you don't understand. Or like, yeah, find that slide. Many times God will send you what you need in a package that you do not understand or like. That happens a lot, doesn't it? I mean, you know, if God knows you don't like white people, and some of y'all don't, bless your heart, he'll send you a white person to help you. Now, that goes for black, you know, white and black folk, too, you know. I mean, now, I'm the black guy. I'm the black package that gets sent around a lot. I'm the tech guy, and I show up places doing stuff, and they see me like, oh, what, you know, older, middle-aged guy, heavy. You know, what could he know about tech? Don't worry about the package. I can help you. I can help you. Let me help you, okay? And sometimes the package that God sends in whatever it might be, you know, in the area of life, the package don't look like you want it to look. But that's God knows what he's doing. See, listen, every time God wants to help us, he got to humble us at the same time. That's the thing about it. You got to be humble to get help almost every single time. Almost every time. Because we would rather just decide what we need and go pick it up. But God's like, no, you need more than you think you need. We always need more than we think we need. I need a financial breakthrough. I need money. You need more than money. You need some budgeting skills. You need some sense about how to spend money. You need to have some plastic surgery. A lot of things you need. So when you show up to God talking about, I need this, he'll receive you. But he'll beat the other stuff off of you on the way to getting the blessing into you. Amen, somebody. All right. But now listen, though. But if we don't honor God, we miss all that, see? If we don't honor God and honor people, we actually miss the things we need. Sometimes we listen to people who aren't even honorable in terms of their behavior and their actions. You know, we got things going on in our country. We got people lying, you know, from the top, you know, lying, blatant lie, flat out lie. And but people act like, well, but I need what he has. Let me tell you my favorite story. There was a man who had a brother who thought he was a chicken. People said, man, your brother thinks he's a chicken. He needs help. I said, I know, but I need the eggs. Now, who's crazy? They both crazy. But the ideal state is to get people help. Don't enable their problem by continuing to draw from them without addressing their problems. I'll leave that alone. I'm meddling. I'm called to meddle. Amen. All right. Sometimes. All right. But honor, listen, honor will enable us to see who people are, despite whatever shortcomings and failings and whatever, you can see what God is doing. That's why, you know, here at Grandparents Day, parents, grandparents, if you ever seen a perfect parent, would you raise your hand right now? If you've been a perfect parent, raise your hand. No. No. But then to make the mistake of not honor somebody because what you think was a mistake or whatever it may have been a mistake, but to miss the larger point and the larger virtue of what God's bringing through somebody, it just hurts you. Hurts you. So then, that's why, even though, you know, now listen, I don't compromise with abusers. I'm not saying to accept abuse from any person, any parent. I think abuse is criminal, actually. I'm not talking about that. But even if a parent is abusive, but the concept of parenting is still correct. Amen? We got abuses in government, but government is still biblical. Government is still correct. We don't just rebel against everything because somebody's wrong. So honor has common sense. Honor has a lot of wisdom involved with it. But yet, if we know a person's heart to be integral and God himself to be good, let's never let something we misunderstand dim our view and make us dishonor where honor should be manifest. Amen, somebody? And more than that, just honor because it's the right thing to do. That's why I honor my dad. Only got one dad, y'all. Won't have him forever, obviously. We need to take care of people while we can. Amen? While we can. Now, and most of all, honor God. Now, Frederick Douglass said something I've said to you before. Back in his day, a great former slave, you know who he is, who he was, and what he did. Abolitionist, speaker, writer, first-hand knowledge of what he was talking about. But he counted arguments all the time. What argument was about, you know, black people, they don't have what it takes to handle certain responsibilities, so we don't want them to be in schools. You can't teach them to read because they can't handle that. His point, he said, well, look, then, okay, you degrade us and ask us why we are degraded. You shut our mouths and ask us why we don't speak. You close our schools and say, why don't you know more? So dishonor creates a problem, a perception problem, that then gives an excuse why I won't support you, I won't help you, because you're not, you know, something wrong with you. Well, doggone it, you degraded me. So I am degraded. Not in your eyes, and not useful to you now for being degraded, see? So that's why we have to be careful that our perceptions are not ruining our opportunities. Don't get down on white folk, black folk. I mean, this whole racial thing, I tell you, it's a mess, because if people don't understand that we're all made in God's image and likeness, and if we don't stop looking at people's package and not evaluate the fruit, we miss opportunities. And so that, let's not make the mistake of casting this broad brush. Everybody's this way. Everybody's that way. Let's not do that, because it's foolish. And it makes us dishonor when we should be honoring people who are worthy of honor and being blessed by the identification with that person. One more story. I call this the tale of two attitudes. The tale of two attitudes. Look at Luke chapter 5. Let me define honor. Let me go back. Previous couple of slides, if you could, please go back a little bit. Let me define honor. I'll skip past that. Now, the Greek word for honor literally means a valuing. Say a valuing. Valuing. Yeah, value. Yeah, valuing. It's the picture is of something valuable, precious, or weighty, such as gold. Other definitions include appreciation, esteem, favorable regard, and respect. So, you know, I obviously honor my wife, I honor you, God's people. I honor whoever I can, because it's a valuing, and whatever you value will appreciate in value. Whatever you honor will appreciate in value, you know. Now, you know how it is, honoring Dad today, and I know Dad doesn't want, he doesn't want this. He doesn't want all this stuff. It's going to happen anyway, though, see? You know? All right? And the thing is, it's going to bless him. You know what I'm saying? That we are. I don't want you to do that. No, don't do that. Well, our nature is not to want stuff. It's not. But if somebody wants to honor and bless you, you don't refuse it, because it does help you. And it helps them. It helps the person who honors you. Because it goes back to what God said, Jesus said, he who receives you receives me, and then receives the one who sent me. So there's this continuum of connectedness to God. It doesn't happen without honoring. So I honor my dad because he's my dad, but also he's a really good guy. You know, he's a man of God. He's someone worthy of honor. He's someone that we all honor as our dad, in a sense, because it's good for him, it's good for us. Amen, somebody? Amen. It's just plain old good. And it really helps the heart. So it's going to go to his head. No, it'll go to his heart. Sometimes people are worried about you getting a big head, so they beat you down. What sense does that make? I mean, again, you know, you degrade me and ask me why I am degraded. See? So don't ever be concerned about pride. Listen, prideful people, you see it all the time, every day. Pride is like, it can't be hidden. Pride will never, never be humble. Amen? All right. But this point here again, so the Greek word for honor means a valuing, a picture of something valuable, precious, and weighty, like gold, like gold. All right, now, let's go back to the story here. Luke 5, verse 15. In your Bibles, I didn't put the scripture up. It's too much for the screen. But it says this, Luke 5, verse 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear, to be healed of him, of the infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into a wilderness place and prayed. Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Please hear that. The power of God was present to heal everybody there, including the Pharisees. Anybody there whoever had enough sense to honor could have been healed that day. The power of God was present. Then it says this, but behold, verse 18, then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst of the people. So they went to the top and tore the roof out, basically. Tore a roof in the a hole in the roof and lowered their friend down in the midst of Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he didn't see them tearing up my house or whoever's house it was. Jesus saw their faith. He saw the honor. Honor for their friend. Think about it. And honor for Jesus. Honor their friend enough to find a way to get him to Jesus. And honor him, honor Christ enough to believe he could do something when they got there. So he says, when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." So the man's issue of sickness was also a sin problem too. He dealt with both, the sin issue and the sickness issue. Sometimes sin brings sickness. So, you know, forgiving sin helps the illness, amen, sometimes. He said this though, but then here now, there's tell two attitudes, little people, big people. So then the first group is little people, the disciples, or the friends of the man and his friends who carried him into the room, little people. Then there is the great people, the big people. So little people said, "We're going to just do what we can to get to Jesus and trust him." And once they began to do that, the great people, I say great quote unquote, they said this. The Pharisees said, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Well, guess who you're dealing with in here? It ain't just the carpenter in here now. It's not just Mary's boy. This is very God in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. So that, but then verse 22 says, "But Jesus, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins,' he said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go into your house.' And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed for his own house, glorifying God." Hallelujah. So then in the midst of the dishonor the Pharisees showed toward Jesus, Jesus chose to honor the honor of those who believed him. The point is, people who don't trust God won't stop you from trusting God. The environment of dishonor won't keep you from dishonoring or from honoring God. Amen. If you don't let it. Sometimes we get in bad circles and those circles pull us down. But here the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith. He saw the honor, and Jesus, the power of God went out of him. Again, he could do no great thing in his hometown because of unbelief. So then belief, faith, and honor all go together. Confidence. And therefore the man was healed, and he rose up, he took his bed, and he walked up out of there. Verse 26, "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Well, it was strange, you know. It wasn't wrong, but it was strange. Let's all stand. So then we want to have the attitude of the little people, those not so great in their own mind. They couldn't honor what they couldn't understand. Be like the people who are in their own minds, that they're small in their own mind. And we're big in God, we're small in our own estimation. And be the people whom God can sense honor from and respond. And again, whatever's good for God is good for people. That is, we don't honor God and dishonor people. There is no dishonoring people on the way to honoring God. There is no forgetting people on the way to remembering God. There's no not helping people on the way to serving God. There's just no separating people, because God put us in a body of Christ. He put us in the community, in the family. He connected us, and there's no way to operate without that connection. We just can't sever the connections and say that I'm with God.